I'm going to be sharing with you my framework for how to not be broke in 2024 and start managing your money like a millionaire. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Financial Freedom Fast Lane. And remember, the quicker you get to your dream life, the longer you get to live it. And I'm your host, George Achimpong. So before we get into it, the first thing we want to talk about is make sure that we're setting the proper frame on how I view money. I don't want to tell you necessarily how you should view money, but I want to set the context for the frame. All right. So the first one is qualitative, or actually we'll start with quantitative. So quantitative basically is the fundamental approach to budgeting. How much money's coming in, how much money's going out. And the idea here is that we want to have a net positive cash flow, right? Now, if it was that simple, everybody would do it, but that is the basis. But where I take it a step further is how we arrive at the target that we're actually going to stick to when it comes to our budget, right? So what does that mean? So what I typically do is I have this spreadsheet and I look at my projected expenses, right? And what I'm doing in this exercise, let's say it's the first time I'm going about it, I'm not logging into my online banking. I'm not downloading any fancy app. All I want to do is make an educated guess on what I believe these expenses are. How much do I pay in rent? How much do I pay in mortgage? How much do I pay in gas? How much do I pay in spending eating out, etc. It's important to identify what your internal barometer is for what you think you're doing, because that is going to give a lot of context to why you might or might not be hitting close to that target, right? Because if you're completely missing the mark, then that's going to give us a lot of insight as to why you probably were overspending, because you thought this whole time that, oh, I'm only spending $200 on eating out. I still got some room to go, right? So it's important for us to have that just organic assumption around how our money's being allocated, right? So you would, a way that you could do this is you could use a quick spreadsheet. Matter of fact, I'm going to link it in the show notes, a spreadsheet that you can use to just input all of your projected expenses, what you think you're spending. Do not log into your online banking. Do not print out your bank statements. Do not do any of that. All I want you to do, right, is look at your projected expenses and make an educated guess. Now, step two is you are going to verify, right? You're going to use the same spreadsheet that I'm talking about, and you're going to verify exactly, right, what those expenses are. So I thought my mortgage was this. Was I right to the T? Now, some of those fixed expenses, right, like you should be pretty close. If you're missing the mark on your fixed expenses, we really got trouble, right? But where you'll be very interested to see is things like shopping, dining out, you know, all that good stuff, to see how close or far away I was from the target, right? And what's going to happen is you're going to have two vantage points. You're going to have what you thought was happening. Then you're going to have what's actually happening. And then you can create an actual target based upon that context, right? Similar to if you were trying to get in shape, you wouldn't want to just come out the gate if you hadn't worked out in a very long time and then start working out 5 days a week, doing two-a-days, and then only eating broccoli and chicken and maybe a little bit of rice, right? It's not sustainable. You're not going to stick to it, and you're just going to get discouraged. Same thing with your budgeting. So if you identified that you thought you were spending $200 a month on shopping and you're actually spending $800 a month on shopping, it's unrealistic probably for you to go down and say, you know what, I'm so upset with myself, I'm only going to spend $50, right? So you mean to tell me you were actually spending on average $800, you thought you were spending two, and you think you're magically going to go down to 50? Not going to happen. It might work for a month or two, maybe, but it's not going to be sustainable. So what we do is we create a realistic target that I like to say is the stretch zone, right? The comfort zone is keeping it at 700, 800, right? Because that's what you're used to doing. The kill zone is trying to be too overzealous and knocking it all the way down to $50. But the stretch zone might say, you know what? I'm going to try to have a shopping budget for around $400 a month, right? See if I can get it down further, but monitor this. It is going to be challenging. I'm used to spending double this, but I'm going to try to get it down to 400. That will be the stretch zone. The place where it's not going to be super easy, right? But it's also not unrealistic. And creating your targets there are going to allow you to start this budget from a much more sustainable vantage point. Now, if you find yourself having the ability with the awareness to spend less and you're comfortable with that and it still makes sense for your lifestyle, by all means, right? Go down to spending less. But what we don't want to do is come out the gate swinging and never, ever hitting a realistic target, right? So that is the qualitative frame. You take what you thought was happening, you take what was actually happening, and you come up with a target based upon the data, all right? Now, the next thing we want to do is we want to go through the qualitative framework. This is the one I love a little bit more, right? And the qualitative framework says this, right? Does your spending align with what you say you value, right? And if it does, is there a more cost-effective alternative? There might be a more cost-effective alternative. There might not be a more cost-effective alternative, but it's worth asking the question, right? So we got to get clear on, does my spending align with what I say I value? Now, the first aha moment that you should have is, do I even know what I value, right? Does my spending align with my value system? I say that I value traveling the world and spending time with loved ones. I say that I value eating healthy and nutritious foods. I say that I value buying back my time and being financially free faster. Hint, 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 right? But when we look at your actual expenses, is that the story that it's going to tell, right? Is that the story that's going to tell? A wise man once said, show me a man or woman's calendar and their wallet, and I'll tell you what they value. You can't tell me that you value financial freedom and you got a $700 Uber Eats bill, right? You can't tell me that you value spending time with loved ones and traveling abroad and you spending all your money on restaurants here locally or just silly stuff, right? Shopping or whatever the case may be. That doesn't align. And if it doesn't align, I must decline, right? You got to have the alignment for the assignment. And so the beautiful part about value-based budgeting or looking at things through this quantitative lens is that it forces you to understand what you value and have a real gut check on if I'm allocating my financial resources accordingly, right? Now, here's the good thing. This is not necessarily an exercise where we just want to cut your budget, right? Just cut. Because if you're spending aligns with what you say you value and you're still prioritizing the right things, then it doesn't matter if you're spending more on certain things that others might not consider important to them, as long as they align with your value system and as long as you're still being responsible in achieving your other goals, then I don't care about that as much. I just want to make sure that you're not spending money on things that don't align with what you say you value, because at the end of the day, money is just a tool to amplify what you want most in this world, okay? Now we can get into the tactics, right? The specifics of how things should be allocated, okay? So the first account that everybody has to have is what I like to call a variable expense account, okay? And this is for all your present choices, right? The things that could vary: entertainment, gas, dining out, shopping, all these expenses that could vary from month to month, right? This is your opportunity zone, because if you are a good steward over these resources, then that's going to give you extra money to align with other things that matter, right? Travel, retirement, all that other good stuff, helping out loved ones, whatever the case may be. But if you're overspending on Uber Eats, if you're overspending on dining out, if you're overspending on entertainment, if you're overspending on shopping, then, right, not only are you not going to have the money for the things that matter most, right, you're probably going to be playing from behind the eight ball in a lot of other areas, because these aren't controlled costs. You have to be the one to control them. Part of the way that you can have self-awareness is by only putting the money that you need for those expenses in that account. It's like the new age envelope system, because most of y'all don't want to carry around cash. So imagine a world where you say, hey, look, I only want to spend $200 on eating out. I only want to spend $100 on entertainment. I only want to spend $200 on shopping, etc. And then based upon how you get paid, whether it's biweekly, once a month, whatever, every week, you just deposit equal amounts of the grand total that you need for the month in that account. Because what's going to happen, there's an automatic built-in trigger here. If you are in the first week and you're already running out of money, right? Good indication that you might be overspending. Now, there could be ebbs and flows in terms of where you have maybe higher expense loads at different points of the month, but it should be your gauge that at minimum, whatever I'm putting here, I should have enough for the week, right? I should have enough for the next 2 weeks, depending upon how I get compensated. If I'm running low or find myself needing to transfer money, I'm probably overspending, and that can create a prompt for me to change my behavior. All right, account number two is your bill account, right? And this is also known as your past commitments. Your bill account is for all your fixed expenses, right? Your rent, your mortgage, your car payment, utility bills, all that jazz, right? Life hack, I actually put my investment allocations in there as well. And what I mean by that, I transfer money from my checking account every month to my investment account. The reason why I put the percentage of money that I want to allocate to my investment account in my bill account is because I'm psychologically conditioning myself that this is a mandatory expense, right? A mandatory bill, if you will. That's a key, right? Now, there is some level of awareness on this account in the sense that you could have a cable bill or a subscription that you thought you canceled or something that like it just isn't what it should be. And if you look at what your balance should be based upon what you know your fixed expenses are, that can then prompt you to maybe look at the light bill. Wait, what happened to the light bill this month? Wait, what happened to the cell phone bill this month? Wait, I'm still paying for these subscriptions, right? Because you're, again, putting the specific dollar amount that you need for those expenses. Now, do I keep a little cushion? Am I putting just quite literally the dollar amount that I need in that account? No, obviously, right? But it does give me great self-awareness if I'm going to pay for something and it looks tight or I don't have it. That might be an indication that something's off, okay? Account number three is your emergency fund, okay? Your emergency fund isn't the fact that Drake or Usher just dropped new concert tickets and you gotta get them. That's not your emergency fund. We'll talk about that, but that's not your emergency fund, okay? This is if you get laid off or have a dramatic impact to your primary source of income. Because here's what I realized. If you get laid off or lose your primary source of income, you can't call up that leasing office and say, hey, not getting paid right now. Can we put a pause on the rent? You can't call up the mortgage company and say, hey, not getting paid right now. Can we put a pause on the mortgage? You can't call up Mercedes-Benz and say, hey, I'm not getting paid right now. Can we defer the payments? In some instances, right, they'll give you flexibility if you have been a good, loyal paying customer on time. But by and large, you owe it, right? And so just because you have a disruption in your income does not mean that you don't have to pay your bills. So you need to be having at least 6 months, I say even closer to 6 months in this account, I'll explain why I say that, of your basic expenses. So when you look at your variable spending, when you look at your bills, at minimum, you'd want to have that. Now, me personally, I still know I'm going to have to do a little bit of travel. There's still going to be some outlier things. I don't want my life to be like just a shell of its former self if I have a temporary loss in income. So me personally, while I'm in control, right, I'm going to make sure that I have enough money allocated to this emergency fund so that my life, by and large, can be pretty similar to what it is now. Because truth be told, I shouldn't be doing anything so crazy that like my lifestyle has to dramatically change if I experience an income shock. Now, granted, it would be smart to tighten your belt and be a good steward because you don't know how long that storm is going to last. But me personally, I'm already living so beneath my means that if I did have an income shock, it wouldn't be that big of a deal, right? Now, why do I say kind of cap it at 6 to 9 months in the emergency fund, right? Like your savings account is not giving you no interest, right? It makes no sense to continue to overfund the savings account, right? And they're not giving you any incentive. So what I say is, controversial take, I'm not even really that huge on emergency funds, like in a bank account. I'm going to do a whole other episode on that. because I don't want to get in the weeds here. But if you are going to have cash on hand, 6, maybe 9 months, and then all you do at that point is maybe increase it by 2 to 3% a year to keep pace with inflation. So what does that mean? If you need $25,000 in your emergency fund and that covers 6 to 9 months of your expenses, great, right? Don't keep contributing whatever you're contributing each month. Maybe once a year, just say, okay, how can I just increase this account by 3% to keep pace with inflation going forward? That's it. The rest of that money right now can be invested in building wealth on your behalf. Account number 4 is emergency reserves account, okay? Your emergency reserves account. What is this account? So every year, you're going to have expenses that you don't know what they cost. You don't know when they're going to happen, right? At the end of the day, you don't even know what they're going to be, but you know something's coming. And one of the biggest pushbacks I used to get from clients is, well, how can I budget properly when something always comes up? I said, that's a great question. Something always does come up, but you can always prepare for it, right? And just because we don't know exactly how much it's going to be, when it's going to happen, that's okay. You're going to be in a much better situation than a person who didn't have an account, period, for these things. So for me, I like to allocate all of the like the non-recurring like surprises I could have, right? So like vehicle taxes, you pay those once a year, right? You know, you got Christmas, right? You know, that's coming up. You got friends and family birthdays. You got medical bills, car maintenance. Those are the types of things that I like to allocate for my emergency reserves bucket. Now, the reason why I don't like to have that in my variable spending account or my bill account is because these typical transactions are not recurring, right? They happen periodically and sporadically throughout the year. And as a result of that, I want to keep my budget relatively consistent and then just be able to allocate and offset those one-off expenses. Because if you can imagine, if you're creating fixed amounts in your bill account and your variable spending account, if you get hit with a car insurance deductible, that's probably going to disrupt that account, right? So having a separate account for those what ifs that you are planning for, not what if like I might lose my primary source of income, but all the other what ifs, right? That can be helpful, right? Your fifth account that you need to have is your major expense account, right? So in your variable spending, you're going to have a nominal shopping budget depending upon who you are, right? And so for me, I have a major expense account that accounts for all of my bigger expenses that are going to be larger than a typical monthly shopping budget. This might be planning for local and international travel. It might mean that I know I got to get a new phone this year. I know I got to get a new computer this year, right? It's those expenses that you can plan for them. You do know what they're going to be, but right, they're bigger than your regular shopping budget, so you want to allocate for it. Now, here's where it gets really interesting. When you look at all your cash flow, there's only going to be a certain amount based upon all your other priorities that you can allocate to any of these accounts, especially the major expense account. So what you can do from a major expense standpoint this year, whether you can go to South by Southwest or all the other events that happen in the year and Coachella and Bali or whatever, that's going to be predicated based upon the budget allowed and available in your major expense account. Right? My major expense account is going to tell me whether I can go to Myrtle Beach or the Maldives, right? Not how I'm feeling and not because of who's going to be there, but these are the resources that I've pre-earmarked for that endeavor, right? Where people go wrong and they think, oh, this is too many accounts. I don't need all that. You have one account, maybe two accounts, and all that money coming into one place. And then you underestimate, right, those other variables that I just outlined. So you think you have the resources to spend on that trip, right? This is how people go in debt. Bonus, hack, right? I have all of those accounts linked to my credit cards so that I can still use my credit cards to capture rewards points for the things I want to spend money on, but then I can earmark the funds that are allocated for that expense to pay out the credit card. Here's a quick red flag or a quick like just barometer. If you are trying to make a transaction on your credit card for a particular type of expense, and you can't go look over at one of those accounts I just mentioned to pay it off in full immediately, that's a good chance that you're not using credit and credit is using you, right? I have over 1 million points saved in my American Express account right now because for my business, for my personal, whatever, but I can afford to pay off my credit card every month. I'm using credit. Credit isn't using me. I'm going to be able to use those points to take a really, really nice trip, which is why I haven't used them. And even when I'm using my card actively to travel, right, what happens is I get perks, I get bonuses, I get $100 room credits, I get guaranteed late checkout, guaranteed early check-in, right, breakfast credits. So why in the world would I not use that over my debit card if I have the discipline to pay it off? If you don't have that discipline, then we don't need to be having this conversation. And an easy way to figure out if you have the discipline is remove your credit card immediately from your monthly spending and just use your bank accounts. If you can't do that, that means that credit is using you. Okay? All right. Last pro tip that I'm going to let y'all go. Once a week, you should have a money date with you or whoever else is involved in the money-making decisions of your household. The purpose of this money date is to say, okay, let's look at the previous 7 days. Let's see what happened based upon what we said was going to happen. And did we hit our target? Did we miss our target? Or did we exceed expectations? Don't do it at the end of the month, right? Worst case scenario, do it mid-month, just like halftime. When you go into halftime and you do a halftime check-in, right? You make adjustments if you're playing from behind, okay? At minimum, do it middle of the month. Ideally, do it every week so you can recalibrate and make sure that you're on track. You can catch things to see if something has gone awry, right? But having that money date is going to be critical to making sure that you're on track. I actually do love an app called Rocket Money. Shout out to Rocket Money. If you want to sponsor this video or sponsor this channel, we can do a whole in-depth conversation about what that looks like. But Rocket Money is a good app. I'll give them one on the house. Once you establish your baseline, right? Establish your baseline, see where your spending is. And then from there, right, you can determine if you're on track. All right, guys, I hope this was helpful. Now, again, don't try to circumvent this process if you are having money management issues and you don't want to be broke in 2024 and you want to thrive. Right. Go through the process. Open up the accounts. Right. I'll run through them real quick for you again, just so you have them. Variable spending should be a checking account. That's for your everyday spending. Your bill account should be a checking account. Your emergency fund should be a savings account. Your emergency reserves could be a savings, could be a checking. Doesn't really matter. And your major expenses could also be a savings. Right. I have three banks. But do whatever works for you, right? I have 3 banks just because I don't trust none of them, right? And I want to spread my money out. And then what's really helpful for the accounts, like the major expense and the emergency reserves, the ones I don't use as often, inevitably when I log into that bank, it's always more than I expect because it's kind of like out of sight, out of mind, right? But yeah, guys, that's my strategy. It's worked. Several clients of mine use it. Automation trumps determination. So whether you're self-employed and you pay yourself, like automate it to go to those accounts automatically. Don't trust yourself to have that money come into one account and then you manually move it around. Set that thing up automatically. If you work for somebody else, the direct deposit is your friend and just pre-tell them like, hey, this is how much money I want going to each account, which you should know by going through this exercise. And I promise you, I will link this spreadsheet in the show notes for you guys so that you don't have to worry about having another tool to go through this process. I was about to sing Usher. You don't have to call. But all right, guys, thanks so much for watching this video. As always, freedom is for sale if you're willing to pay the price. Until next time, peace.